This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and author of 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies. And now the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
56 congressmen are calling for the termination of the section of the Voting Rights Act that mandates foreign language ballots because these ballots divide our country, increase the risk of voter error and fraud, and burden local taxpayers. They encourage linguistic separatism, which would give us problems like Canada has with the French language. Foreign language ballots contradict the melting pot ideal that has made the U.S. the most successful multi-ethnic nation on earth. Foreign language ballots don't make civic sense. You cannot vote unless you are a citizen, at least you're not supposed to. To become a naturalized American citizen, our law requires that you demonstrate an understanding of the English language, including an ability to read, write, and speak simple words and phrases in ordinary usage in the English language. Foreign language ballots are an open invitation to fraud because the Voting Rights Act requires foreign language election information, notices, forms, instructions, and assistance in addition to the ballots. This, plus the widespread availability of voter pamphlets and absentee ballot applications, gives an unscrupulous party operative countless ways to deceive voters about the issues and the candidates, and it increases the likelihood that non-citizens will vote illegally. Foreign language ballots are a direct attack on our civic unity, which the late Honorable Barbara Jordan said must be promoted by public policies that override the problems posed by our cultural and religious diversity. She said, such policies should help people learn to speak, read, and write English effectively. The right to vote should motivate immigrants to learn English. Eliminating foreign language ballots would be a major step toward more honest elections and the achievement of our national motto, E Pluribus Unum. That means, out of many, one nation. Voting should be a civic act that unites Americans, not one that divides us.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. If you agree that foreign language ballots in U.S. elections are a waste of money and contradict the ideal of our American melting pot, write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. Ask for a free information packet on foreign language ballots. That's Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. Or online, eagleforum.org. And join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Against illegal immigration and defender of the First and Second Amendment rights, straight from the ghetto, the prisoner of South Central, Terry Anderson.
What's with this Terry Anderson guy?
He's articulating a popular rage.
Stupid people of America, good evening. If you ain't mad, you ain't paying attention. Tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, the President of the United States will address the nation on the subject of immigration reform. Now, he's going to tell the American people what we need and what he intends to do for us to have what we need. Any American who is not in a coma not only sees the problem of this massive illegal alien invasion, but knows exactly what must be done in order to set matters straight. Many of us who have had sight knew many years ago that things would get to this point that they are today, folks. We knew. We knew it was coming. And we know that things are bad, and they're very bad. But we won't hear that from the president tomorrow night. Oh, no, you're not going to hear that. You'll hear everything in the world, but you won't hear that. Because he doesn't experience it on a personal level. And what he doesn't experience, he doesn't care about. The president has betrayed Americans and has allowed this invasion to happen. This is his sixth year in office. Did you hear what I said, folks? Let me say it again. He has been president for almost 6 years with a Republican House and a Republican Senate, and he has done absolutely nothing. Nothing. That's what amazes me. He talked about, I need a Senate, I need a House, I can get things done. Well, guess what? He's got what he wanted. He's got what every politician prays and dreams about. He's got his own party in the presidency, and he's got both houses, and even has a majority of governors. And what has he done? Nothing. He has done nothing. And those of you who are sitting there saying, well, he's better than Kerry, shut up, because you're stupid. It doesn't matter who he's better than. It's what he's worse than. And he is worse than any president we have had. Anybody that tells me that Bill Clinton was bad has to look at what this man is doing. This man's numbers are only president who had numbers lower than him was Nixon just before he resigned. The only president in our lifetime that had numbers that low, and they're sinking. This guy's dropping down below 30. That is unbelievable. 6 years he has been in office, and he has done nothing. He knows how bad the problem is, folks. He's heard it from the American people. He was a governor of a border state. He knows, and those of you who tell me that he probably doesn't understand are idiots. He knows. He has continually shown contempt for regular, non-elitist Americans. He is the biggest perpetrator of the disconnect between the American people and the American hierarchy. We want it fixed, folks. The American people want it fixed. And we know how. But there's no political will from the top to do what we know needs to be done. When you hear the president speak tomorrow, listen closely. You will hear his despise for us, followed by lies and more compromise. You're going to hear him pushing his guest worker amnesty, and his code word for it will be, get ready, you're going to hear it, quote, comprehensive immigration reform, end quote. Comprehensive immigration reform. In 6 years of our begging and pleading, he's done nothing. I keep repeating that because it is important. We have said over and over and over to this man that we want this done, and he does nothing. Not only has he done nothing, he's gone the other way and done things against us, like announcing that he's going to give a guest worker amnesty, which makes illegal aliens line up at the border and come across in ever-increasing numbers every single time he says it. That border is wide open. Nobody's been deported until recently, and no employers have been targeted. Now, mysteriously, in the last few weeks, a pallet-making company and a Mexican restaurant chain have all of a sudden been prosecuted for hiring illegal alien workers. I wonder why. All of a sudden. Nothing in the other 5 years this guy's been in office. But now, all of a sudden, we got people being prosecuted. If I was the president, we would have been prosecuting employers and deporting illegal aliens from day one of my presidency. I would have sworn the oath with one hand and been pointing to the Border Patrol what to do with the other hand. I'd have been ordering them down to the border and saying, anybody you catch, I want prosecuted for being in this country, and we have to build 1,000 tent jails out there in the middle of the Mojave Desert. I would be prosecuting these people, I'd be prosecuting these employers, and I would be throwing these people out of office who are violating their oath by letting these things happen. That's what I would have been doing, but he hasn't done anything. He has done nothing on this issue. Nothing. Zero. And you cannot tell me he's better than Kerry. At least if Kerry, with his sorry behind, would have been in there, the Republican Congress would have attacked him every time he brought up doing some kind of comprehensive immigration reform. But no, they're afraid to attack their own guy, so we're stuck with all this PCBS that comes out of his mouth. It is outrageous that he waits 5 years to even talk about actually doing something. Everything he's doing now is for show, to push his amnesty. And for some of you idiots out there, you're going to believe he's sincere. You're going to go for it. Well, no, he's against amnesty. Look, he's putting troops on the border. Look, he's rounding up these employers. Look, he's deporting people. Everything he's doing right now is showcase for his speech tomorrow. I guarantee it. Everything. Mysteriously, the president is now, after 6 years, talking about actually putting troops on the border, just before he gives a speech on immigration reform to the American people. Isn't that kind of coincidental to you? Don't you think maybe, just maybe, that he might be a little disingenuous on this issue because of his timing? Come on! He does nothing without wanting something. He is trying to flam and flim, and he's trying to grift. All of these things to the American people, and if you're not smart enough to see it, he's going to put it over on you. Don't believe anything he says. Nothing. Because he is a liar, and he is an elitist, and those are the worst combination of ills that you can come up with. This is the first time in my life that I have seen a president that is despised and hated by both conservatives and liberals, and is constantly being attacked by his own party. I have never, ever seen this. Somebody name me a president who was attacked by his own party the way this guy is. Somebody name me a president who was castigated by both sides of the aisle the way this president is. He is the worst that I have seen in my lifetime, and Clinton was horrible. Clinton was sorry, but this guy is terrible. He really, really is, and it's a shame. If he really cared about America, and no, I do not believe he does. His actions tell me that. But if he really did care about this country, his speech tomorrow night would say something like this. My fellow Americans, this illegal alien invasion is destroying America. Our schools are under attack. Our hospitals are under attack. Our prisons are under attack. Our wages are under attack. Our American culture is under attack. And yes, the very sovereignty of our nation is under attack. We must act now, and we will act now. We will take the provisions of the Simpson-Mazzoli Act of 1986 and aggressively seek out and prosecute every employer who hires an illegal alien. We will deport anyone in this country here illegally as the law state in our culture. We will hire 10,000 new Border Patrol agents before the end of this year. It will be our number one priority, and we will deploy the military to our border to assist the Border Patrol. And we will do it now. We will do these things, and we will do them expeditiously. That's what a president would say. And he would say this will protect our republic and preserve our republic, our great nation. That's what he would say tomorrow night if he really gave a damn about this country, which he does not. That's what he would be saying. But what you won't hear from him is anything about why he hasn't done anything in 6 years. And the reason he hasn't done anything is because he hasn't had to compete for a job with an illegal alien. He hasn't had to live around their third world conditions. He hasn't had a child in school with them. He hasn't had a wife heckled at a construction site. He hasn't had to ride the bus with people that have no respect for anything in this country other than the dollar. He has not had to compete in any way, live and exist around illegal aliens, and therefore he does not have a right to tell us what we should do. If he did those things, if he existed that way, maybe then he would understand, and maybe then we would get a decent, reliable, and real speech from our president who was there to serve us and not some foreigners who come here illegally. That is what we want from you, Mr. President. But we ain't going to hold our breath. It would be a waste of time. Don't believe anything he says. This is the Terry Anderson Show on the All American Radio Network.
Most Americans want government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But some politicians want to do away with borders entirely, and they have a plan for doing it. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, the FTAA, a roadmap for economic and political fusion of our hemisphere. If approved, Americans will lose control of their own future. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress to say no to the FTAA. That's stoptheftaa.org.
Terry Anderson Show, and we talk about illegal immigration. And I want to remind everybody out there that has friends and relatives who could not hear the sound of our voice, they can hear us live by going to our website. That's theterryandersonshow.com. I want to welcome all the good folks listening tonight. KFNX 1100 AM, Phoenix, Arizona. KDON, KDWN 720 AM, Las Vegas, Nevada. And all the good folks listening at the RBN Network. Welcome to the Terry Anderson Show. Let me give out that caller number now. Those who want to call, agree, disagree, curse me out. But don't forget, you get back all that you give and then some. If you're nice, I'm nice. If you ain't, look out. That number is 1-866-870-5752. 1-866-870-5752.
Now it's time for the most horriblest clown of the week.
Yes, it is time for the most horriblest clown of the week. You know who it is, folks. It's President Bush. Again. Even as he attempts to flim-flam the American people into believing that he's finally going to do something about the American border by putting the U.S. military there, he's already begun his damage control by accepting a call from Presidente Fox and setting his mind at ease. He used typical Washington BS when he told Fox that he did not intend to militarize the border. Oh, no! He was simply thinking of considering sending the National Guard there to temporarily support the Border Patrol. White House spokeswoman Maria Tamburi said, quote, "The president made clear that the United States considered Mexico a friend and that what is being considered is not militarization of the border, but support of the Border Patrol capabilities on a temporary basis by National Guard personnel," unquote. The U.S. considers Mexico a friend, folks, and that's a good thing. My question is, when the hell is the U.S. going to start considering U.S. citizens to be friends? When do we get friendship status from our president? We haven't gotten it yet. Not on this issue. Not in the least. White House National Advisor Stephen Hadley said the idea of putting troops on the border was, quote, "to provide a bit of stopgap as the Border Patrol builds up its capacity," end quote. What they should be doing is deploying them down there on a permanent basis. That's right, until this problem goes away. And that can be done. It's amazing to me that the president has yet to say anything about this invasion and call it what it really is. But it makes me really, really angry when I see him apologizing to a foreign government for wanting to arm people and put them on our border to protect us. That angers me. Once again, President Bush, you suck. But more than that, you're the most horriblest clown of the week. Boy, I tell you, folks, it gets worse and worse and worse. Imagine this. LAPD arrests a guy, puts him in jail, gives him 7-8 years for robbery, rape, mayhem, murder, whatever. The guy gets out. He's an illegal alien. He gets out and he's deported out of the country. 3 weeks later, the cop that arrests him sees him walking the streets of Los Angeles. He sees him, knows he's not supposed to be back in this country because he was deported as an undesirable alien who was in the country illegally. But that LAPD officer cannot say one word to that guy because that would be an immigration offense that he was arresting him for. That is outrageous that we are allowing this to happen in our city here in Los Angeles, all because of something called Special Order 40. Tonight, we are really, really happy to have Ernie Norris on the line with us. He's going to tell us about a lawsuit from his organization to try to stop Special Order 40. Ernie, how are you doing this evening?
Pretty good, Terry. How are you?
Pretty good, buddy. Tell us about Judicial Watch and their lawsuit against Special Order 40 in Los Angeles.
Well, Rule 40 was enacted in 1979 and has been misconstrued from its original intents to become the sanctuary policy for illegal immigrants all across America. I mean, Rule 40 in Los Angeles County or in Los Angeles City has become kind of the cornerstone of the sanctuary policy that has, you know, permeated the southern border states, you know, with Mexico, the idea that somehow the police cannot act. I mean, the local police are the absolute first line of defense of intelligence and, you know, not only against illegal immigration, but of terrorism.
Absolutely.
And they have been prohibited, not just from, you know, one offense and so forth, but they have completely been prevented
from
cooperating with INS, ICE, what's called ICE now, the internal, you know, the immigration authorities. When we talk about cooperation, we're just talking about, you know, saying, hey, you know, there's some illegal immigrants down here,
turn them over.
They can't do that.
What gets me, Ernie, they pick and choose. They say, well, it's a federal crime. We're not going to enforce federal crimes. Well, when I see a bank robbery, I see LAPD rolling up there.
Absolutely.
When I see kidnappings, I see them. You know, they pick and choose which federal crimes they want to enforce.
Yeah, well, and see, Daryl Gates was the chief of police at the time, and he will tell you that was never the intent of that Rule 40 to prevent cooperation with the immigration authorities. It has been taken by the politicians and used. And again, I think you also have to look at it from maybe from a point of LAPD that, you know, hey, they don't want to work too much. I mean, if they can eliminate part of their jobs, you don't have to worry about that. And that's the real sorry thing. And we think we've got a great lawsuit. legally, I think we're going to win. It may take it all the way to the Supreme Court, but we're going to win that LAPD, not just LAPD, but any local police force in America has their number one priority of the preemptiveness of federal law. All the federal statutes, the federal government, you know, controls immigration. Every local policeman has to enforce that law. That's kind of the basic part of our suit, is that they have to enforce it, not only arrest them, but to cooperate and to prevent that. Every police sergeant on every beat in an LA city knows immediately where the illegals are.
Well, you know, I would agree with that, Ernie. And let me tell you something else that really angers me. When I hear our police chief now say that the citizens of this city don't want the police doing that type of work, which is a lie because I'm a citizen and I want it, and most people do. But he actually said, and we play the soundbite here, the police chief actually said anybody that doesn't like it should leave the state. I mean, here's a guy that blew in here from parts east, some foreigner from Boston or New York, who comes here and tells us that if we don't like this policy, we should leave the state, us native Californians. And that angers me.
Yeah.
How dare he say that?
Well, not only that, see, but it's the prerogative of American citizenship that the police force enforce the federal government's preemptiveness in relation to illegal immigration.
Now, when did you file this lawsuit?
We filed it about a month ago, and we gave the police commission notice ahead of time that if they were to change it, of course, we wouldn't file the lawsuit. And, of course, if they really did do what they ought to do, change Rule 40, we'd, of course, immediately dismiss our suit. But I think this has – it's not just Los Angeles. I think this has national significance because Rule 40, see, is something that has been ingrained.
Right, and a lot of cities.
In law.
And right.
I believe that most courts, and I really believe the U.S. Supreme Court is going to stand on our side.
And you know what? These cities that have sanctuary policies, a lot of them will follow suit, and people will sue them also. Because,
right. Well, that's where we're attempting.
Yes.
We have gotten lots of calls. We've got several big calls from Orange County that they're anticipating a very similar suit in Orange County. And, of course, see, if we get an injunction – just like the consent order against LAPD, we will have an injunction forcing the Los Angeles Police Department to enforce this. And, we'll be on the forefront to make sure that once we get that injunction, that it's enforced.
Well, that sounds good. And I like the fact that you're willing to go as far as it needs to go.
Well, see, that's what Judicial Watch really is. We have the resources. A lot of times they think, okay, they defeat us in the trial court, and that's going to be the end of it. But we've got some great lawyers, and we have followed many, many suits all the way to the Supreme Court. Lost some, won some. This one we're going to win.
Well, it's kind of hard to believe you wouldn't. I mean, the law is on your side on this.
Absolutely.
One. I mean, that's elementary.
The federal judge that overturned Prop 187.
Marianna Feltz.
Right, and she cited a lot of this stuff, and we've kind of turned it on its ear, so to speak, and used that. And the fact, everything that she pronounced in that suit, we were saying the federal government has the preemptive authority, and, of course, what the federal statutes say is that the local police have to comply with that. And we're kind of using her for our authority. And I think we're going to have it's a tremendous legal case. I don't think they're going to ever, turn it aside. And we've got a Supreme Court that I think is going to uphold that.
Well, Ernie, we're going to say a prayer on this one because this is really good stuff. We need this to happen. The immigration debate, illegal alien invasion debate, has slanted to our direction now. There'll be people who disagree with that, but these marches in the street and Special Order 40 and people making demands on this country, all of that stuff is now going our way. We've got the momentum, and this will help us. This lawsuit will definitely help us because it will show that the police have not been doing doing their job and that they've been slanted in their thinking. And it's not just the police. It's this stupid L.A. City Council that we've got here. Not only have they passed this in 1979, but they several administrations since then, every once in a while, they reaffirm it to say, well, you know what? We agree with this. We're going to keep it intact.
Yeah. Well, we hope we'll be able to undercut them. There's all kinds, like you were talking about, corporations. I mean, they want the cheap labor. I mean, it's slavery.
It is slavery.
It's slavery labor.
It's better than slavery.
They want it, and of course, I think that's what has bought Bush off.
Yep.
All the business community, oh no, we can't do that. You know, it's going to cut our ability to make profits. You know, and the sad thing is, like you said, where's America?
Who speaks for us?
Yeah, who speaks for us?
Yeah, when do we get a spokesman? When I think it may just be Judicial Watch.
Yep.
That's who speaks for us. Ernie, I got to go. You stay in touch with us. We want to know how this case is going. When
right.
something happens, you let us know.
Sure, appreciate it.
Because we back you all the way.
Work.
Thank you, sir.
Uh-huh.
Ernie Norris, folks from Judicial Watch. Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
Great stuff. Here we got a guy out here suing the LAPD and the city council over Special Order 40, something we've talked about many, many times on the show. It's the selectiveness that our government decides whether or not they're going to prosecute this, enforce this law, and then prosecute people. They're going to make up their minds whether or not this is a good law. The law is there. They should be enforcing it. They shouldn't be making any decisions on it. And this crap, this bull that they talk about, well, if the police start doing immigration work and putting people in jail for immigration, then people won't speak up and it will be hard for the police to do their job. Guess what? There'll be less crimes because they'll be deporting these illegal aliens that do a lot of these crimes. So you know what? It works for us, for the police to enforce this. It really, really does. Now, you know what? When we go out, we have protests, we have demonstrations, they call us racist. They say, you're racist. KKK. I saw Jasmine Kanick from the Urban Policy Roundtable standing in the street, a dignified woman like that from a reputable organization standing in the street like a hoodlum screaming, KKK, go home, knowing that the Minutemen are not the KKK. But nonetheless, she was out there doing it, got her on film doing it. Unbelievable. They love to call us the KKK, even though it's all races of people in these organizations doing these protests. And guess what? The KKK wouldn't have anything to do with people of mixed breed like that. But they stand out and they call us these things, they call us these vile names, and they say there's no such thing as La Reconquista. I want you to hear this clip. This is by a Nazi-like organization, the Bronze Berets de Aslan. These are some of the most hateful, racist people in the world. You tell me if this guy, his name is Senor Sabeda. He is a member of the Brown Berets. You tell me if La Reconquista is in effect. You tell me if this guy is talking about taking over. You tell me how he feels about white people in this country. You tell me how this guy feels about dominating our society. And you tell me how this guy feels about Americans who don't happen to be the same color as him and happen to be of his persuasion. This is racism at its very, very best.
I was Dean Savada, the Brown Berets. We're here today to show L.A., show the minority people here, the Anglo-Saxons, that we are here, the majority. We're here to stay. We do the work in this city. We take care of the spoiled brat children. We clean their offices. We pick the food. We do the manufacturing in the factories of L.A. We are the majority here, and we are not going to be pushed around. We're here in Westwood. This is the fourth time we've been here in the last 2 months to show white Anglo-Saxon Protestant L.A., the few of you who remain, that we are the majority, and we claim this land is ours. It's always been ours, and we're still here. And none of this talk about deporting. If anybody's going to be deported, it's going to be you.
Come back to Simi Valley, you skunks! Go back to Woodland Hills! Go back to Boston! Go back to the Plymouth Rock! You pilgrims! Get out! We are the future! You're old and tired! Go on! We have beaten you! Leave like beaten rats!
You old white people, it is your duty to die!
Even their own ancestors say that they should die. That they have a duty to die. They're taking up too much space, too much air. We are the majority in L.A. There's over 7 million Mexicans in L.A. County alone. We are the majority. And you're going to see every day more and more of it as we manifest as our young people grow up and graduate from high school, go on to college and start taking over this society. Our people are the vast majority of people are under the age of 15 years old. Right now, we're already controlling those elections, whether it's through violence or nonviolence, through love of having children, we're going to take over.
That's our plan, sir. This is our plan. This is Mexico.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Hi, this is John Statmiller, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
From the counter at the post office. You don't need it. The Terry Anderson Show pen is the real deal. Sleek, refillable, laser engraved with a quote from yours truly. You'll spend all day making sure no one walks away with yours. Send your donations to the Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. That's the Terry Anderson Show. 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. This is the Terry Anderson Show, and we talk about illegal immigration. We got a full board, as usual. No brag, just fact. Before we go to the board, we're going to go to our sponsor, Mr. Jonathan Rose of the Capital Gold Group, safestgold.com, 1-800-510-9594. Jonathan, what do you hear? What do you say?
Well, a very fine evening to you, Terry. Gold, every time I speak to you, is going up.
Yeah, but it'll never get to $700, Jonathan. It'll never happen.
Remember that?
I remember. Boy, that's amazing. You're a prophet, buddy.
Well, I'm glad I've been accurate. It sure does help.
That's yes, it does.
So gold is $725 an ounce.
Unbelievable. Right.
You know, the listeners that purchased gold from us through the last year, congratulations. People that are listening today, hearing about gold, it will continue to go up further. You definitely see $1,000 plus an ounce for gold by the end of this year.
And Jonathan, if I can make a point, just because it's hit $700 doesn't mean it's too late. It's not too late. Next year it'll be too late. But right now, $700, you missed out on the $600 to $700. But guess what? If you get in at $7, then you're gonna take advantage of it going to $800, $900, $1,000. So it's not too late.
It's like a real estate development. You may have missed out on the first phase, but go ahead and buy on the second phase because they're selling like hotcakes too.
Still going to make money.
The dollar's shrinking. Look at other countries, India, China. They're monstrous buyers of this precious metals. And this is the time to diversify your portfolio from paper. Take a portion of your dollars, 5 to 20%, put it into solid gold, which you get to hold on to. And all the listeners tonight, Terry, they can call in. We have gold specialists standing by right now to send out our Insider's Gold Guide, which will show you how to purchase gold at the lowest possible prices and which gold coins will give you a better return in the future. That number is 1-800-510-9594. Again, it's important you write this number down, 1-800-510-9594. You get the gold guide. It also comes with a CD, which I find very informative. Education is the key. Find out why Bill Gates, who's the world's richest man, is saying he's betting against the dollar. Find out why the Wall Street Journal is telling you to get heavy on metal. Get your gold guide. It's free for the Terry Anderson Show at 1-800-510-9594.
Well, I agree. Don't miss out, folks. This is going to happen. No matter what happens, it's going to happen. So get in on this. We will repeat that number again at the end of the show. It's 1-800-510-9594. Jonathan Rosa, Capital Gold Group. Jonathan, thank you so much for coming by this evening. We're going to watch this. This is exciting.
Thanks, Terry.
All right, buddy. Take care.
I'll be listening to it. Take care.
Thank you, sir. All right, folks, there's our sponsor. He's been right so far. And those of you who jumped on it, and I know quite a few who did, guess what? You were smart. If you're smart, you'll get on it now before it goes up any higher. Let's get to the phones now, folks. Let us go to Brian calling from San Diego, California. Brian, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hey, Terry, how you doing, man?
What's up, buddy?
Listen, man, I was just talking to your screener, man. We had a lovely conversation, man, and I basically just want to reiterate what I was saying to him, man. I think that the Senate is going to go ahead. They're going to pass this amnesty, and it's going to be chaos, man. And as we were talking, you know, I said that basically the Civil War is on, and I'm not one who advocates violence, man, but I just think it's time to take the gloves off, man. It's no other way of looking at this thing. Nothing's going to be done on a political level. I mean, it's like as much as I would like to see something done in the House of Representatives and the Senate, it's not going to happen because already, from what I'm hearing on Lou Dobbs, is that the Senate has already stacked the conference with people from the Judiciary Committee, and basically they're all pro-amnesty. And I think that what they're going to do is they're going to muscle Dennis Hastert. That's really the House of Representatives is really our last line of defense, and I think what's going to happen is that Hastert's going to be muscled the same way Bill Frist was muscled, and I think that basically the conference is going to be stacked with people in the House who are pro-amnesty, and I think that it's a done deal as far as I'm concerned.
Well, time will tell. I think that these congressmen got to get elected every 2 years. I think they're going to be afraid. I'm hoping that they keep that fear in their hearts. I hope the American people go there and blow up the vote this coming November and just demolish any preconceived ideas of who's going to win what. Vote for those who vote right, and those who don't, remember them. Do not forget them. But we'll see what happens, Brian. We shall see.
And Terry, one more thing I wanted to ask you. Okay, now say this thing is going to be passed, which I believe that it will be, this amnesty. Under a new administration, say after Bush's term is up, and say after new representatives are elected and so forth, and I think it's like a third of the Senate that's up for re-election. Okay, say we get some new blood in the Senate and the House, and a new president is elected. Can this issue be revisited?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, Terry. Thanks.
All right.
Man.
Thanks, Brian. Take care.
You too.
Let's go to Ann calling from Los Angeles, Nevada. Ann, what do you hear? Los Angeles, Nevada. Los Angeles, California. How you doing, Ann?
Hello, Terry. After listening to that tape, it's a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, that tape should be sent to the president.
It is. We have, and they said a copy has gone to every senator and every congressman in the country. It's gone to most governors in the country. And let me tell you something, Ann. I was there. I saw him when he said this. This was July 4th, 1996, when they attacked us at the federal building. I watched him as he said this. It's very scary, and these people are real. Augustin Sabeda, this man is one of the heads of the Brown Berets. They are a Nazi-like racist organization. And you see, this is his own words. This is what he said, not what I said. We don't play anything that's not in the words of the perpetrator.
Right. Okay. And President Bush has a ranch, and I'm sure Mexicans are working on his ranch.
I would imagine, but I would hope they would be here legally. That would be my hope, but who knows?
And he has two daughters, mm-hmm. and I know they anticipate on marriage. And who knows if Mexicans will work for them?
We'll see. We shall see. And thank you so much for the call. You are indeed right. It is a scary, scary tape.
Okay, I'm glad the tape's sent out.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Mark, calling from Las Vegas, Nevada. Mark, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hey, Hardin. I used to agree with your position. In fact, I was on Pat Buchanan's steering committee for his 2000 campaign, and I even had the privilege of, you know, chauffeuring the man when he came into the state of Minnesota, which is where I'm formerly from. But one thing that concerns me, I think there might be a case we made for states, you know, state governments, you know, putting people, you know, agents on the border, deputies on the border, and maybe erecting walls. But I'll tell you, the idea of having the federal government have any sort of wall or even increasing the number of deputies and agents on the border really scares me, because of the potential for this to be used not just to restrict travel coming into the country, but going out as well. You have things like the no-fly list. That kind of scares me, Terry.
Okay, Mark, let me ask you. And what you're saying is a maybe. I mean, I don't know. It could happen, I guess. What would you do? I mean, we have to We have to do something, Mark. So what would you do?
Well, like I said, I think maybe this is something that should be handled in state legislature.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not bring it to the federal government. And a lot of people might laugh. They say, well, you know, people aren't going to want to go to Mexico en masse. That may be true, but you look at the metastasizing police state. You know, there's no doubt that there are some people who may have a perfectly legitimate reason for wanting to escape the jurisdiction of the federal government,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, for whatever that may be. Like I said, the no-fly list, obviously that's not for terrorists, because are you going to put a terrorist on the no-fly list if he shows up at the airport? No, you're going to arrest him and give him a trial. So it really concerns me when we have these sorts of travel restrictions already put in place.
But Mark, I asked you for remedies and you didn't give me one. So I'm just going to say this to you. You have a right to your opinion, and I respect it. I do not think that would happen, but that's just me. I also think that something needs to be done, and I'm willing to. Bottom line, I'm willing to take the chance. How's that? That's all I can tell you. But Mark, I appreciate your opinion, and I thank you for calling.
Take care.
All right. Everybody doesn't agree, but we got to take those as they come, and he's got a right to that opinion. Let's go to Clyde, calling from who knows where. Clyde, what do you hear? What do you say?
Somewhere out there in the border badlands. Terry, it is so refreshing to hear you open your program screaming with rage from a burning bush. You know, 18 months ago, George Bush was on radio, and he said the National Guard is the wrong thing to do, and that was his final answer. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Now, the propaganda organs of radio today are saying he's getting a lot of good advice. Terry, tell me, when did he start listening to your show?
You tell me.
Because that's the only place it's going to come from. You know, you're right. The National Guard is the carrot on the stick.
That's all it is. Don't get me wrong, Clyde. We welcome it, but we know why we're getting it. We're not getting it because he's sincere. We're getting it because he's got something up his sleeve. This guy's got more stuff up his sleeve than Houdini.
Well, you know, and all the people listening know, that this flim-flam scam-sham of a damn nasty shamnesty is going to end up being permanent.
That's right.
But the National Guard on the border has been temporary. I would say we already know what he's up to.
Absolutely. He has shown who he is. And you know that there are still people that tell me that he's a good man? I still have friends who say, well, I think he's a good man. That's amazing.
One more thing. That Augustine Cebeda, does it leave any doubt in your mind that he and his ilk are the new incarnation of Hitler's brown shirt?
They are the worst of the worst. Talk about Nazis.
So that's it from here.
All right, Clyde, I want to thank you for the call. Take care.
Thank you so much.
All right, let's go to Dave, calling from Anaheim, California. Dave, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on the line.
Is this Terry?
Yes, sir.
My gosh, I got it so fast, Terry. Thank you so much.
It's okay.
Illegal aliens connection to 9/11. I've been calling Capitol Hill for the last 2 weeks. That stuns them when I give them this line, and here it is. 9/11, illegal aliens, politicians' failure to do anything about the border to stop the illegal aliens from coming across the border is fueling the fake document industry, which so allowed easily the 9/11 hijackers to get fake documents. Virginia, shortly after 9/11, two illegal aliens, it was exposed, sold two of the hijackers fake driver's licenses. These were Hispanics. There was an Orange County Register article on this recently. And I want to show you folks how to disempower Washington and get it done. Non-Connected Political Action Committee called the FEC. You can start your own political action committee, Non-Connected Political Action Committee, and do independent expenditure ads in every district against every senator, against every House member who will not do anything about the illegal alien invasion.
Dave, Dave, I'm going to have to let you go. We got a very bad connection.
Okay,
we can't. We can't hear. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Bye.
All right, let's go to Rick calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Rick, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hey, Terry, first-time listener. Great show. You're telling it straight. And
welcome aboard, buddy.
Well, Georgie Porgy is getting it tonight.
He should. And you know what, Rick? I don't say these things against, and he is my president. I don't say these things against my president lightly. I don't just throw it out there because I want to. I don't delight in the fact that we got a president that sucks like this. But I can't help it. Here's a guy that deserves this. And I've been wanting to like this guy for 6 years now, and he won't let me. He won't let me. He keeps doing this to us. He keeps shoving it to us dry. And guess what? Eventually everybody gets fed up. Well, I'm fed up.
Well, I have to agree with you. I don't know why we're worried about the National Guard. I think the U.S. military and some of those M1 Abrams that are sitting in the dust of Iraq should be sitting on our border protecting us from the real invasion.
I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you. Absolutely. I am with you.
Well, I just want to say, hey, and let you know, keep telling it straight, and it's great hearing it on the East Coast.
Rick, you listening online?
No, actually, I'm listening on 92.7, wherever that is.
Okay, buddy. I appreciate you listening. Call us again.
We'll do it.
Take care. All right. Let's go to Mark calling from Long Beach, California. Mark, what do you hear? What do you say?
How's it going?
Hey.
Anyway, I'm pretty slow, so let me see if I get this straight. George No Border Bush's deal is that he's going to temporarily defend my country's borders.
So, right.
If I permanently let him legalize 30 or 40 million illegal aliens.
You're not slow, Mark. You got it. You've got it.
Well, you know what? I'm also. My country's not for sale.
Thank you.
We're gonna be all over these congressmen in the next couple of weeks, Terry.
Good.
And, you know, they've picked a heck of a fight right here, Terry.
They really did. Absolutely. I agree.
Love you, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Call me again.
Yeah.
Let's go to Gary calling from East Haven, Connecticut. Gary, what do you hear? What do you say?
All right, Terry. And Monday night, President Bush is going to propose building a 50-lane superhighway from Mexico City to all major U.S. cities. And he's going to say, bring it on, folks. Don't fall for it.
Don't go for it. Gary, did you hear what I said in my monologue? Don't listen to anything. Don't listen to anything he says. Don't listen. It's going to be a lie. He's going to give you the same flim-flam, the same grift, the same PCBS that he's been serving up to us ever since he's been in office. Don't go for it.
Folks, for conservative voters are the victims of the biggest political hoax in American history. Jorge Bush is not, I repeat, he is not a conservative. There is no conservative agenda out there. Folks, Tom Tancredo in the Senate, in the Congress, in the House of Representatives, and whoever your senators are in the Senate, you better let them know.
Hammer them.
No way, no amnesty. We want deportation.
That's right.
Out of here.
That's right. That's the only thing we will take. And one more thing, Gary, this thing about let's get the border secured, let's get the border locked down, and then we'll talk about what we'll do with the people here. No, there's nothing to talk about. Let's lock down the border and send them the hell out of here. That's what we're going to do in that order.
That's what we want.
All right, buddy, thanks for the call. Let's go to Tom calling from New York City. Tom, what do you hear? What do you say?
Oh, good. It's a refreshing show to hear this. Folks, if you listen, I'm in New York City, but when I walk down the street, I feel like I'm in North Carolina. Every other car has North Carolina plates on it.
I wonder why.
Because these are the illegal aliens. Go to North Carolina. They get the plates. They don't even check their ID. Now they're up in New York City, New York State, and all over the country driving with these North Carolina plates. folks, let's go down there and tell those people in North Carolina to stop giving out those plates. Because you know what? That's a national security risk to the United States of America.
Not just the plates, Tom. They're getting driver's licenses, too.
Right. The licenses go
They're
low
getting the whole shot. All they got to do is walk in there and have a pulse, and they give it to them. Unbelievable.
Well, and this has all got to come to an end, folks.
It does.
If you keep the pressure on everyone out there, everyone has to contribute.
And the state of Maryland is doing it, too. Virginia just got rid of it a couple years ago. California got rid of it. They're trying to bring it back, but it's not going to happen. Every state in the union's got to do this. Tom, thanks so much for calling us from New York, buddy. Take care. Let's go to Gary calling from Reno, Nevada. Gary, what do you hear? What do you say?
Oh, Bonnie Fine-Terry. Hey, I'm one of those guys. I found a job that Americans won't do. You know what that is? It's walking districts like I did for George W. Bush in the last two elections in the cold and the snow. I wouldn't walk across the street to hear this guy speak in 1,000 years or any of these crackpot Republicans, and they better be listening because there's a third party. We're going to throw these guys out of office. I'm going to do everything I can to turn the Republican Party back conservative, and we're going to throw these flim-flam sham artists right out on their butts.
I love it. I love
it. That's one job that I won't do. And that's do anything for the Republican Party anymore.
Good for you, Gary. The only way I say do something for them is if you find a candidate that you like. That's different, but not for the party itself. You don't send them your money. You don't politic for them. You don't vote for them. You vote for the guy, and that matters not what party he's in. If he speaks our language on illegal immigration, then we're for him and no other way. Gary, thanks for the call, buddy. Let's go to Rob calling from Long Island, New York. Rob, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Hey, Terry, good morning. Two questions. One, what is happening with the African-American community out there? Because I'm African-American. What's happening with African-American out there in L.A.? And I'm not really seeing African-Americans really behind this like I think they need to be, being that we're going to be the most affected by this illegal immigration. And two, Terry, will the American people be forced at some time to go on mass in the streets like these other people are doing in order to shape this thinking in Washington?
The second question first, yes.
Okay.
And the first question is real simple, Rob. If you talk to the average black guy or black woman in Los Angeles, they'll tell you that they're fed up on this issue. I've been to roundtable discussions. I've been to protests. I've been to meetings. They're angry. They're angry over this issue. I went to a meeting right here in South Central L.A. where the room holds about 25 people. There were 65 people squeezed in there who wanted to talk about illegal immigration. Not one person there was against my point of view. But it's the leaders that stand up, the black leaders who stand up and say, we should get in touch with these people and support them. Messy Jesse Jackson and Conkhead Al Sharpton and the rest of them who say we should align ourselves with these illegal aliens. So my answer to you is simple. The people are against it. The leaders are for it, and that's typical with our government.
And before you go, Terry, and Beth have to know that by and large, the Mexicans are as anti-black as parts of the dominant culture is.
Worse. Some of the worst. I've been called nigger and mayate more now than I ever was when white folks were in the neighborhood. They are some of the most racist people. I got to go, Rob. But before I go, let me tell you this. I debated a woman once who told us that she was raised in Mexico to hate black people before she ever came to this country.
You,
so
brother.
That's the way it is. You take it. Call me again, Rob.
Keep going, man.
All right. Let's go to Toby calling from Waco, Texas. I love Waco, except for the tornado. Toby, what do you hear? What do you say?
Well, I am just so glad to be talking to you, but I just got off of Yahoo a little blurb that says that Bush told Vicente Fox that our troops that were going to be down there was not going to because it was militarized.
You weren't listening to the monologue. I mentioned that in the most horrible time of the week. I did mention that already. You know what, Toby? He's doing a preemptive strike, so his buddy Fox won't be angry at him. You know, it's typical. But don't worry. The American people are not going to be fooled by anything he says tomorrow. Toby, you the one sent me the pictures?
Yes, I was.
And I emailed you back today. I don't know if you got it, but I want to thank you for that. It was very nice of you to send me those pictures, and I really appreciate it.
Well, I just wanted you to explain to us what non-militarized people were on the borders, if they were a bunch of secretaries they were sending out.
Could be. What it's called, you got me with that one. What it's called is it's the PCBS. Now, you folks figure out what those letters mean.
Okay.
Toby, thanks so much. And it was nice meeting you down there in Texas.
Oh, it was wonderful.
You Texas folks are the absolute greatest, and I mean that. Believe me when I say it.
Thank you. Welcome to Texas, and come on back.
My pleasure. You take care.
Uh-huh,
all right, let's go to Elliot calling from Glendale. Elliot, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Yeah, next Saturday, May 20th, we have a chance to rally against the illegals at the Sunny Stardust campaign rally in La Cañada, Flint Ridge. If you'd like to print up a flyer and fax it to your friends, go to my website, www.elliotgraham.com. It's two L's and two T's, G-R-A-H-A-M.com. And I have a printable flyer. You can just print it out and send it out. And it's next Saturday at 1 o'clock, 1823 Foothill.
All of you,
we have a good turnout and get everybody out. If we can beat this,
I will be there, Elliot. And all you people living in the Los Angeles area want to come down, you know where that is. It's where all of our events are held. It's a really good deal. We're going to try to get it up on our website. I will be there. George Putnam will be there. Ray Bream will be there. It's going to be quite a few people out there to support Sonny, and I'm looking forward to it. I will be there. I might be a little late, but I will be there, and I promise. Elliot, thanks for the call, buddy.
Hey, you're welcome. I hope everybody all over the country contributes to Sonny, because if he wins, it's going to help us in all the other races that we can prove we can actually beat an incumbent, and our votes really matter.
All right, thanks, Elliot.
Thank you very much.
Let's go to Joan calling from Canoga Park. Joan, not much time. What do you hear? What do you say?
Good evening, Terry. My point I want to break, mention about Mr. Bush supposedly bringing in the National Guard. That's all for cosmetic purposes. They're not going to do a damn thing. It's our Minutemen Project that's doing the job, and I think that if Judicial Watch is really serious about prosecuting the L.A. police, they needed to take it from the top to sue Mr. Bush and have him impeachable as an impeachable offense under Title 8 U.S. Code 1324, which is bringing and harboring in certain illegal aliens, and under 1325, which is basically a felony.
Well, I agree. I think Judicial Watch is serious. I don't know if they want to go to the top. I am happy that they are suing the LAPD, so we will see what happens on that. But you're right. As George Putnam often says, the fish sinks from the head.
Thanks very much.
Joan, thank you so much for the call.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. You know what, folks? We got a lot going in the country right now. We got people representing us. Finally, some of them are doing it because they want to. Some of them are doing it because they're afraid. But most of them are just doing it, and that's all we care about. We don't care why we get it. We just want it. We're going to keep fighting this fight. We're going to do all we can. But the main thing is you got to keep that pressure up. That's where you come in. Keep that pressure up. We have to keep it going. I want you to stick around, folks. Great show tonight. Laura Swiscala, Just a Woman Radio. She is going to be very timely tonight discussing the failure of the Republican Party and the inevitable Hillary Clinton run for the presidency. If that don't scare you, nothing will. Stick around. Loris is going to talk about tonight. You can call and discuss it with her right here on this station. I want you to remember our sponsor, Jonathan Rose, safeasgold.com, 1-800-510-9594. Remember our good buddy, Rusty Childress at Childress Auto Mall, 22nd Avenue and Camelback, immigrationbuzz.com. Give him a call. And this week with the swings, very, very good. You can read it on our website. Private Kilo and lizards everywhere. Great stuff from the swings. Go to our website and read it. Want to remind you, folks, we need your help to stay on the air. It's a very expensive proposition. The pens are here. Yes, we will send you one. Let us know you want one when you send in your contribution to the Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. It's very expensive, and we use all the money for airtime. So please, folks, give us a hand. Want to thank Mike Reed, Engineer Deluxe, for doing the show tonight. And I also want to thank Les Blinkhorn, my producer, for coming in and doing the phones, and Cliff, who also came in and volunteered to help tonight. We appreciate that, too. I want to remind you folks, once again, we need your help to stay on the air. Please, please, please support us. We do need it. I'm going to remind you of those three websites we talk about every week, theterryandersonshow.com. And don't forget our good buddy Juan Mann at deportaliens.com. And for the up-to-date information on the illegal alien invasion, go to Glenn Spencer's webpage, americanpatrol.com. This is Terry Anderson for the All-American Radio Network saying we will be back again next week, as usual, attempting to articulate the popular rage. Good night, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years, and gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.